Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
I was also working as a health coach at a medical clinic, and I would work with a lot of women who had been through bad relationships and experienced a lot of trauma. They had high blood pressure or diabetes and things like that. I was supposed to be talking to people about, you know, eating healthier foods and exercising, but the common denominator of it all was people not loving themselves enough to feel that they were worth taking better care of. Mm-hmm. We could talk all day about eating more vegetables and eating less sugar, but we all know that.
Hey everyone, this is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. I had a great time sitting down with Jessica Karpinski of Rooted in Wellness at the Wellness Renaissance Podcast Studios. But before we talk about that, very important. Okay, so I get to learn something really cool about Jessica. She makes amazing gluten-free, dairy-free treats. She gave me a taste when she came to have our chat of this amazing double chocolate kind of cookie brownie-ish thing that was fantastic. And then on the top of it, it had like freeze-dried raspberries. It was like, oh, all good things just in one. So I had her hook me up for my birthday treats this year, and she made chocolate chip cookies and she made like little peanut butter cups. So good, I'm telling you. So if you are a gluten-free, dairy-free person, this is a lady you need to know. All right, on to the show. Self-love, what does that mean? What does that even look like? That is what Jessica is gonna talk about today. And she's really gonna share with us her journey in kind of figuring out the need for that for herself and then what it looks like going forward to practice that. And I think self-love, they're words we hear a lot. We are told that we're supposed to be doing this and practicing it, but I think we don't always know how to implement it or what does it even mean? What does it actually look like? And I think one of my favorite things that she says that you heard in the intro was, we can talk all day about eating more vegetables and less sugar, but we all know that. And so what is the missing link in helping us move forward? You know, we can say we're not motivated enough. We can say all these different things. And I think her insight is a really interesting one. So she's going to share a lot more about that. She's going to share what she does as a yoga teacher. I love that she works with people teaching yoga one-on-one and integrating and supporting people with this whole concept of helping them find self-love to further them not only with their health, but life in general. Before we dive in, I want to say thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Please consider sharing the podcast episodes out. You know, those things really do help. Please know that when you share on Facebook or send an email forward, those things really do help us out. And anytime you comment on Facebook or put up a like, that actually helps the post reach farther for us. So that is a huge deal. And one of the things that keeps popping up in information lately is when you like a post, that is a fine thing. But if you can actually commit to loving the post or one of the other emotions, and I really think that there are not enough up there to be proper descriptors, that actually, again, helps the post go further. So Facebook has these little games that they play and we're all trying to figure out what they mean and supporting other people with them. So thank you for liking them, but if you could commit to loving or whatever, that is also really fantastic and helpful and helps build the awareness and the audience. And if you want to take a step further, of course, you can become part of the Wellness Renaissance Patreon community by going to the Wellness Ren podcast website, clicking on the Become a Patron, and supporting us financially as low as $1 a month. You can take a look and see at the different levels if there's something that feeds your soul. It not only lets me know that you appreciate the work that we're doing here, but it also keeps it happening. So thank you so much. It really does support the work that we're doing. And while you're on the podcast page, you can check out the other episodes, wellnessrenpodcast.com. Check out the other episodes. You can also sign up for the email. We send out an email each week just letting you know what's going on in the podcast. makes it super easy to get there and hit play, and then you don't miss any episodes. On that note, let's head on into our conversation with Jessica. Welcome, Jessica. I'm excited to have you. This is going to be good. So we're going to talk a little bit about self-love today and what that even means. And you do a lot of work around that, which is really cool.
I do a lot of work around self-love. Yes.
For yourself, perhaps, but with others as well. So let's start out with, I want you to introduce yourself and talk about the work that you do, because you're primarily a yoga instructor, right?
Yeah.
So talk about what that means, because you do things, you know, you teach classes, but you do a lot of other stuff beyond that as well.
Yes. So my name is Jessica Karpinski, and I'm the owner of Rooted in Wellness, health coaching and personal training. And I started my business about 2 years ago. I currently have a studio space in Superior, Wisconsin, just right over the bridge in the Superior Business Center. So it's only a couple of blocks over the bridge. So I primarily provide health coaching and personal training services, as well as teaching yoga and Tai Chi. I teach in my own studio, and I also go to people's homes and do private in-home sessions as well.
That's really cool that people can be in their own space.
Yeah. Nice. Yep. It works out nice for people who have the space in their home, who maybe have, well, we all have busy lives, but who have busy lives or maybe just odd work schedules or busy family life where they're not able to get away for a couple of hours to go to the gym or to the studio to get in a workout.
I can also imagine that for some people, the actual practicing in their home makes it sort of the thing you do in your house, rather than, you know, we think of a lot of fitness as outside our home. Mm-hmm. And not in our house, where I would almost think that would almost create a little different muscle memory of like, I can do this right here, just mm-hmm. like I do when I'm being taught.
Right, right. It is a whole different experience in your house, whether that's a good thing or bad thing. It's hard for people to get motivated in their homes on their own sometimes. But yeah, but it's nice to just be able to be right there and get a good workout in and see how that can translate to working out in your own home on your own.
Right.
Yeah.
And you do retreats as well, right?
Yeah, something new that I'm going to be doing in winter of 2020, so this coming winter, is hosting yoga retreats down in Troncones, Mexico, which is one of my favorite spots ever, maybe my favorite spot ever. This will be my fifth year down there, and I'll be hosting a couple of retreats at a friend's house right along the ocean on the South Pacific coast of Mexico.
Nice. What makes it your favorite spot?
It feels like paradise without walls. It's a really small community, so there's maybe like 1,000 people in the community, and it's one main road, and you're either on the beach side or you're not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's just like a quaint small town feel. There's so much talent in the town, whether it's like people cooking good food or teaching great yoga, surf lessons. It's just like a magical little place with so much healing energy.
Wow. Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And you said the winter of 2020. So when does that happen?
So I have 1 week scheduled, February 16th through the 22nd, and then another week, March 1st through the 7th.
Oh, what great times to get out of Minnesota or any cold place.
Yes. It's about the time where everybody has cabin fever and really wants to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. I'm super excited to take small groups down there. Each retreat will be limited to 6 people. So it'll be a nice, small, intimate group.
Oh, that sounds great too. Just that real personal time.
Yeah.
Those trips can be so magical for people. Like the lifelong bonding stuff can happen on those types of events.
Absolutely.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I'm excited that you do one-on-one. Well, let me ask you this. So like you said, it's a lot of times for people who are maybe odd schedules, but would that be something you would do with someone who is really maybe not sure, is their body going to do yoga, or are they even ready for a beginner class, or just feeling intimidated?
Yeah, that's a good point too. I do a lot of one-on-one work with people just in that exact situation where they're not sure, you know, they've never been to a yoga class before, and maybe they're not feeling like that confident that they can go into a yoga class because they're not sure how to do yoga or that their body is going to do that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they, you know, have a chronic illness or an injury, stuff like that, that requires a little more one-on-one tailored work. So then we can just work specifically with their body, mm-hmm. you know, and tailor their workout to that.
Nice.
Or their yoga session.
Right. Yeah. That's great. That's huge. It's an interesting thing because I think there is, you know, the idea of fitness and yogis and yoga, that there's this idea of, oh, I can't do that. That's, you know, we see kind of the intensive or the amazing, you know, I just watched a video with a woman who is like, so her back is so flexible that she like was able to like invert herself completely and put on her sunglasses with her feet, you know. You watch that and you think, okay, I can't do yoga. Like, you know what I mean? But that's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
And so I think when sometimes people are, I know with people that I work with some of my classes, there is the kind of intimidation factor. And I think having an opportunity for people to like, you know, no, come check this out. Come see how this can work for you and your body, because yoga is so, can be so open and welcoming to that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I think yoga can be for anybody. And just like one of my teachers would always say, you know, it's not about how many poses we can do or how flexible we are. It's about being present in our body and just moving our body with our breath.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so it's not about all the fancy poses and tricks that you see online, which are really a lot of fun to watch.
Right.
To see but that's not what typically goes on
right. In
yoga class.
Yeah, not every yoga class are people twisted up in pretzels and standing on their heads.
No.
Thinking of your retreat.
Yeah.
What's the title of the retreat?
So the title of the retreats is The Art of Radical Self-Love.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about radical self-love. Like, what do all of those words even mean together?
Yeah. Well, I've been thinking about this so much, and I think about it all the time because so much of my work focuses on this. And I guess I'll just start a little bit with how I started this journey and started to realize why it's important. And about 6 years ago, I went through a divorce, and like the minute my partner moved out, I realized that I had been relying on somebody else to like complete me or to make me happy. And it was at that time that I thought, oh, wow, okay, I need to learn how to love myself before I can like get into another serious relationship. And at that time, I had no idea what that meant or how to do it. And I felt like, you know, like it was maybe a unique thing to feel, and mm-hmm. not everybody needed to do this work. And at that time, I was also working as a health coach at a medical clinic. And I would work with a lot of women who had been through bad relationships and experienced a lot of trauma. And I realized, as you know, maybe they had high blood pressure or diabetes and things like that, I was supposed to be talking to people about, you know, eating healthier foods and exercising, but the common denominator of it all was people not loving themselves enough to feel that they were worth taking better care of.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of realized that what we're all striving for here is this place of self-love so that we can live happier and healthier lives. So that's kind of what started my journey and why I felt that it was so important, because we could talk all day about eating more vegetables and eating less sugar, but we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not really one person who doesn't know that that would be a good idea.
Right.
So what does radical self-love mean? I feel like radical self-love is a coming home to ourselves. It's finding that place within ourselves where we're comfortable and where we can really feel a true sense of love and belonging within ourselves.
Talk a little bit more about that, because I'm thinking of hearing those words, and that makes sense, but how do we maybe get there, or what might that look like? One of the questions that I think comes up sometimes is self-love versus selfishness, or feeling like you're being selfish. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. there's a certain amount of selfishness that probably comes in self-love that is a good thing, mm-hmm. but then there is the not wanting to be over, you know, not wanting to be...
like self-absorbed,
yes,
maybe.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, there's the being selfish that is a good thing, and then there is being selfish to the detriment of those around you, like yeah. in a big way.
Yeah. Well, most of us, I think, are more along the people-pleasing line of things. So, like, there's a spectrum, right, of, like, really self-absorbed and like people pleasing to the max. Mm-hmm. So we've got these two spectrums, and if we can come to somewhere in the middle, that's the place of self love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it is a little bit selfish, right? Because if we're used to taking care of everybody else and getting everybody else's needs met, and not meeting any of our own needs, then it does seem and feel really selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I try to think about it in terms of, like, if I was to be my own best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or if I was dating myself.
Right.
Yeah.
What would you... You know, how does that look? How does the voice of self-love look in the space of... whether it's working out or taking yoga or eating, that goes on in your head and how you express yourself. Because I think there's a process there when you've decided to do something different and then coming to that place of self-love that you're coming from a different place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it starts by changing our internal dialogue with ourselves. You know, from, oh, I'd be a bother to somebody, to... you know, something more, a little more loving. Like, I'm really trying my best to take good care of myself, and this is what I need in order to do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when the internal dialogue starts that's negative, or that's like the total inner critic, like, how dare you ask for something else? You know, like, how dare you bother them for vegetables instead of fries? You know, or whatever it is. To think about it as, what if your best friend said to you, how dare you ask for vegetables instead of fries?
Right.
And if somebody else said that to you, you'd probably be like, oh, like, right? They're so mean.
Right.
You know? Like, my best friend or my partner is, like, so critical and mean. But when you're being your own best friend, then, and you can change that dialogue,
mm-hmm.
and say, I'm doing what I need to do to take really good care of myself, because I love myself so much that I deserve, you know, this is what I need, want, and deserve.
Mm-hmm. And I think even the word sometimes of love myself for many people, I know for my own self, it feels a little awkward.
Oh, it's
right?
So hard.
And you know, to say that and, yeah, and to be okay with it and be at a place that, no, that is a good thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
loving yourself and giving yourself the best, doing the best things for yourself allows you to go forward in life and do the best things for other people and serve people better and take care of your kids better and whatever. Be a good dog mom if that's what it takes.
Yeah, totally. It is.
So talk about, because I think the best friend is a great example, but maybe can you expand on kind of how does somebody figure out if it's a shift they need to even make?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they in a good place about self-love? Is that where they're at for themselves? How are they doing? How do they kind of take that test?
It's the test of self-love. Well, I think to start with just bringing an awareness to it. Yeah. Just thinking about, am I being loving to myself? Am I taking care of myself in the best way that I can? And starting to think about, like, what is my internal dialogue? You know, when something goes wrong for the day, is my internal dialogue, oh, you did it again. Oh, you fell off your diet again. Or, oh, look at you, you gained 5 pounds. Or, you know, like, mm-hmm. things like that. Just those things that we're so hard on ourselves about. Or whether it's maybe something at work. Oh, you couldn't make that work. You didn't get all your work done today. Things like that. If your internal dialogue is like that nagging inner critic, then that would maybe be a sign. Or if you're constantly people-pleasing and putting everybody else's needs in front of your own, like they have more right to get their needs met than you do yours, that would be a good place to kind of check in with yourself too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think those are a couple of good, just initial, if you haven't done any of this work before and you're like, why do I need to do this? Or I'm fine, you know. Just on a general basis, I would say probably everybody has work to do in the area of self-love. I, at one point, thought, oh, this is just a thing that I'm doing for now. And the more that I do it, I realize that it's a constant process. It doesn't end, it shifts and it changes, but it's not like, I found self-love and now I'm done with that.
Ah, self-love is here. I don't have to think about this
anymore. Right.
It's kind of that making that next right decision for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Examining that a little bit without it being too overbearing, I guess, because you don't want to... If it sounds too much work, then, you know,
yeah.
It becomes not worth it. But that's not the point.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about your journey a little bit? How do you do you different now than mm-hmm. maybe you used to as you've kind of gone through this? And, well, let's start there and then talking about kind of how you incorporate it with the work you do with people.
Yeah. So I mentioned before that it started at the point where my marriage was ending.
Right.
And I just had, it was like this stark realization, like, literally, my partner moved out, and probably within like 2 days, I thought, oh man, I have to change something because other people can't complete my happiness, and I need to really find that spot of happiness and love inside of myself.
How do you even go on that journey? Like, it's cool that you had that realization for yourself.
Yeah.
Right? That's big. In that situation. But what, you know, what kind of steps did you take in making this a thing for you or discovering what that meant for you?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think where I started back all those years ago. You know, my first things, I believe, I would take myself out on dates.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I would go out by myself, like, for happy hour on Saturday evening.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I would find a nice place to, like, get some good food and maybe a drink, and I would write.
Oh, nice.
Which uh-huh. always intrigued the bartender, because they're like, what are you doing? Like, what are you writing about? But I would take myself out, and, you know, that was the beginning of that. Maybe I would buy myself something, like a new bracelet or, you know, something like that. Not something expensive, but mm-hmm. just, like, something like that. or buy myself flowers. Things that I would initially do, things that I wanted a partner to do for me. You know, sometimes we're like waiting for somebody else to buy us flowers or take us out for dinner. And you might even be in a relationship and have a partner who that doesn't occur to them, that you want those things. Mm-hmm. So even if you're in a relationship, it never hurts to fill those needs yourself mm-hmm. if you're not getting them met. Yeah, there's no harm in buying yourself flowers or the things that you want to feel fulfilled.
Or take yourself on a date, because that's not cheating. So that's a good deal.
Oh, you totally take yourself on a date. And then I think for me, it was also learning to spend time by myself. Mm. So not always reaching externally for attention or validation or, you know, all the things that I felt like I was missing. Just spending time by myself, maybe watching a movie or reading a book, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the beginning of it. And then it was probably 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, that I met a man at the gym that I was working at who had been sober for like 7 or 8 years. And I was so intrigued by like, what, you've just been sober for 7 or 8 years? You know, like, that's incredible. So I decided to give that a try. I kind of drank a lot through the last, like, through getting divorced and everything. And I just thought, oh, like, what do people who are just really sober do? You know? Like, what's that about? That's kind of fun. But he introduced me to yoga.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So I started going to yoga and found that the place that felt comfortable and safe to me was on my yoga mat. Like, if everything else in my day was chaos, I knew that on my yoga mat, everything was fine. Even if I was in a group of people, It was like my isolated, like, little space I knew that I had, like, agency over that space. So I started doing yoga, and shortly after that, I started doing yin yoga, which is a slower practice where you're holding poses for, like, 3 to 5 minutes. It's usually floor poses.
Okay.
But it ends up releasing a lot of emotion, and it's really difficult for people because it's hard for us just to sit still. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just to be quiet in our heads, and maybe it's a little uncomfortable, and we're not busy doing something, so you have to actually sit with whatever comes up. And it was through that practice that I started doing a lot of mantras and just telling myself the things that I needed to hear. So I would spend a lot of time in child's pose at my house and say things like, I love you, I respect you, I trust you, like, I honor wherever you're at today, and just repeat those in my head, like, on each breath. So I'd breathe in, I love you, and, like, let that go. And work through that practice, because part of the journey of loving ourselves is also being able to trust ourselves. Mm. You know, a lot of us look to somebody else, whether it's a parent or a friend or a partner, to make decisions, but really nobody else knows what decision is best for us except us. So it's okay to get advice from people sometimes, but in the end, it's all up to us to make that decision. Yeah. And I wasn't trusting myself. And in that spot, it's really uncomfortable, especially being a person who's fairly newly single, who's been in a relationship for 13 years. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to make decisions, you know, on my own.
Right.
Like at the end of the day, it's all on me to make the best decision for me. Yeah. Yeah. It's like a whole new world. Right. What do I want to do? I don't know. You know, I think that was a big part of my journey too, is that what do I want to do? What do I need and want in my life? And I actually made a list of the things that I needed and wanted, mm-hmm. and started like reworking my life around some of those things. And one of those things that's been a big part of my journey is traveling. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd ever planned a trip for myself before. Mm-hmm. And so like I started small and visited a friend in Florida because I knew I wanted to like spend time on the beach in a warm climate, like in the winter. This was a big part of what I wanted to be doing. Yeah, so I visited a friend in Florida the first year. And the second year, I went back to Florida and I participated in a Strong First kettlebell certification event where I worked there for the weekend. And then I like drove across Florida to meet up with friends on my own. And that was the first trip where I landed at an airport and I wasn't going to see anybody I knew for days.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There is an empowering piece to that. Like, uh-huh. I didn't travel growing up at all, but I, like, one of the first trips that I took to meet people that I had never met before, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah, it is an empowering feeling to kind of do that. It feels like there's a little hump that you yeah. get over in your life that I can do this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I don't even think sometimes that it occurred to you that you couldn't. You know yeah. what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying you specifically, I'm the general you. I think sometimes we do these things and it doesn't even occur to you that you hadn't thought about it. It wasn't like you were like, I can't do that. But when you do it, you're like, that was okay. That was successful. I did that. I can do this.
Yeah.
It brings you to like a little different place of independence.
Mm-hmm. It definitely does. Yeah. Because like there are women all over who don't travel mm-hmm. by themselves, just people in general who right. won't do it.
Yeah.
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 And then women in other parts of the world who can't do it.
Right.
So to right. be able to do some of these things is empowering.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and some people have, I remember having a conversation, this was years ago, with somebody who went to see a movie on her own by herself. Mm-hmm. Not something she did, really, but she wanted to see the movie. Nobody else did. She went. And her kid was, like, incensed. I was like, you went to a movie by yourself? Like, oh, my God. How embarrassing that is that you would go do that, you know, that you would be seen in a movie theater by yourself. And I'm like, it hadn't occurred to me that you shouldn't go see a movie by yourself. Like, I was like, well, I'm going to see a movie and I want to see it. Nobody else does. Who cares? But it's like, no, really, you can. They will sell tickets to a single person. Mm-hmm.
And really, the only social part of being at a movie with somebody else is, like, arriving and walking to the theater and sitting down. Otherwise, you're not right. talking to anybody during
the movie. And maybe there's afterwards, right? But I know people who won't go see movies by themselves who don't like to talk about the movie. So it's like, well, who cares then? Right. Like, I like to talk about movies, so I enjoy going with somebody else. Yeah. But there can be those movies that are, like, they're so... I can't remember which movie it was, but I saw a movie a few years ago that was one of those years I was so glad I was by myself, that I could just be with this movie in the theater all by myself with all of my little emotional stuff uh-huh. that came up, and it was great. And I think sometimes people don't think about doing those things for themselves. Because mm-hmm. you're right, a lot of people, like, there's a lot of fear, or just, you know, it feels somehow like it isn't meaningful. Sometimes if you're going by yourself, mm-hmm. you know, again, it's that, like you talked about, that time you spent in silence, mm-hmm. right? Or with the yoga, or just in general, of all of the things that are happening inside your own head that you're processing through. And those silent days you can spend, even if you're engaged in an event or a seminar, but the time you spend by yourself is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think there is something to be said for that. Like you said, that we feel like it's not meaningful if there's not somebody else there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's been part of all of this for me as well, is finding that meaning because it's meaningful for me and I matter.
Mm-hmm.
So right. Why shouldn't I do whatever it is that I want to do for me, whether somebody else is there or not?
Right.
You know? Yeah. It's like things aren't less meaningful because nobody shared that with you.
Right.
Even though it is fun to share things with our family and friends, but
but you can process differently, mm-hmm. you know, and you can share those experiences sometimes with somebody else, and then the experience you had by yourself, sharing it with your friends that you have that deep connection with, and
right.
then you can gain a whole new perspective, but it might have been one you would have never gained if you hadn't gone by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or sometimes, like, you never know who you're going to meet along the way.
Very true.
Like,
yeah.
There's that whole experience, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But being able to be with yourself, being able to be good company to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something to be said for being able to be, like you said, be with yourself, but then also go out into the world and share that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like both. But if we have just too much of one or too much of the other, it sometimes doesn't balance itself out.
Right.
Yeah.
So at the retreats, I'm just thinking, since they are, you know, you're kind of encompassing this whole thing is about self-love, mm-hmm. right? So what are the things that you are doing there? What do you incorporate in that experience?
Yeah. Since it's a yoga retreat.
There
will be yoga. Yeah. But then also some guided journaling about self-love and some talks about kind of like what we're talking about, but just how to take steps in those directions and conversation about, you know, experiences and maybe barriers to how you get there. So really delving into what this all means and how to start on that journey in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine it's different for everybody in general, but, you know, single people versus people in relationships and with kids,
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. I think those things take on different dynamics when you have other people to share your time and space with.
Right.
And yeah. I think, you know, one of the best ways to teach your kids self-love is to model that yourself. Kids mm-hmm. notice how their parents are taking care of themselves and they want to be like their parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's their first, like, the first place where we learn how to be ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll do some talks around this whole self-love thing, and then also just nourishing ourselves with healthy local food, fresh food, fruit and vegetables and all of that great stuff that's available down there, and massages, because touch is a big part of self-love as well. Yeah, so massages and hopefully some bodyboarding or boogie boarding. People can learn how to surf if they would like. There's horseback riding on the beaches at sunset. So just really a lot of different things. We'll do some art journaling.
Art journaling.
Yeah.
So talk about that as well.
Yeah. So it's like freedom to express yourself artistically, you know, maybe through like painting or drawing or whatever means, but maybe you add some words or a word to your art.
Okay.
So sometimes it could be like a poem. Sometimes it might just be one word like joy or love. Sometimes it's no words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's something that I've really enjoyed working on the past several years, is doing art journaling. And it's not necessarily, I think of it as not necessarily for somebody else, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's not necessarily art that
it's not art you're doing for an audience. It's your art for yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Your diary, your art diary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then enjoying local music and dancing, and we'll do a raw cacao ceremony. It'll be a lot nice. Of fun. That was really a meaningful thing on my trip to Mexico last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And remind me of how long is the retreat itself?
The retreat is for 1 week.
Okay.
Yep. We check in on Sunday, check out on Sunday.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be amazing. It's
what
such a healing place.
And yeah. And to be able to take that time for yourself and to get into a new space. I mean, what a great jumping off point if somebody is in a place of transition or knowing there's a transition coming or whatever. I mean, not that it requires that, but I'm thinking what an amazing way to just dive into it and be with whatever you need to be with for yourself. And to be with such a small group of people that like opens up the ability to just get into stuff for yourself and others is so, what a gift.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's nice when you're doing that work to be immersed with other people who are on a similar journey or want to be on a similar journey, and then maybe to remove yourself from work or family for that brief period of time to just kind of to take the space to figure out what that might look like for you, what this journey might look like for you, or you know, what you need to do.
I think of, you know, the sort of the family vacations, and I think of how many people couldn't use something like this instead of their family vacation. Like, you know what I mean? I think there's we have our fun vacations and our see the world vacations, and this would definitely be a see the world vacation, but it's also, and what a beautiful way to immerse and to grow from a week like that. That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, and the best thing about being on retreat too is like you can do as much or as little as you want. If you get there and decide you need more quiet time, then you get to take that. You know, it's your vacation and you can do it how you want.
Right.
Yeah. I'm there to like guide people through the week and to offer the knowledge and experience that I have, but also to just facilitate what they need on their journey.
Oh, yeah. Fresh fruits and veg. That's got to be delightful.
Yeah. My favorite thing is just to like ride my bike or walk down the road and buy a coconut from the guy laying in a hammock down the street.
Oh yeah.
He'll like cut it for you and scoop the meat out and, you know, get you the fresh water from it, and it's like $1.50.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful. I love it. Oh, wow. What a treat. Well, let me ask you this question. You've given some really, I think, great descriptions and ideas to help us even understand, you know, what the concept of self-love is and figuring that out. And I think it's certainly a process in discovering that for people and being okay with it for people. And you've given some great tools. Any other suggestions or a couple, like if somebody's thinking about, you know, where do I start? Like that list of what do I do for myself that I want to be doing for myself is a great one. Any other questions or something else somebody could ask themselves to help them sort of get in the zone of thinking about it, or, you know, what does this look like for them? You know, besides obviously, am I doing the things for myself and how I'm thinking about the things that I want to be doing for myself, but other things people might try or think about or do or journal about to help them find, dig into this a little deeper, figure out where they're at or where they could begin.
Well, I'm definitely open and available to talking to anybody about their journey and about what they want to do. That's part of the health coaching process that I work through with people. It's not just working on food and exercise, but it is about all these other areas of our life that come together to make us happy and whole. So, you know, I'm available to do that as well. And I think as far as journaling goes, maybe just asking, am I living my life the way that I want to? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If I could write the script, what script would I write?
Yeah. Yeah. Remembering that, you know, we're the author of our own book and we get to decide how that next chapter is written. And is the way I'm living and the people I surround myself with, what I'm putting into my body, what I'm doing every day, the job that I'm doing, is that bringing me closer to my best self?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I love that, like you talked about the coaching, that you integrate this with coaching.
Yeah.
So I imagine that coaching might look really different with you than one might expect, right? Like, mm-hmm. yes, you might be looking at their food, but if somebody is in a place needing these tools, that might be something you spend a little more time on,
mm-hmm.
to help them get into a zone. It's much easier when you're in a mindset, like if especially we're going to, you know, change your diet, whatever,
mm-hmm.
to have those phrases or the best friend script and comebacks for yourself, or the words you can say to other people that you can feel empowered by, rather than having to apologize in a sense of, well, I'm really sorry, you guys, I want to eat better, could we not go to McDonald's or whatever the case is, you know. But being able to find a way to feel good in yourself, of being able to figure out how to do that well and take care of yourself in whatever surroundings. So, like I say, I'm just saying that I'm guessing that things can look really different with you, of how that's going to work with people individually.
Yeah. Yeah, I look at self-love as like the foundation for everything else. You know, if we have a leaky or we have cracks in our foundation, then everything else that sits on top of it is at best unstable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So to do this work requires a solid foundation and filling in those cracks and living more unapologetically, you know, for like in the ways that we need and want in order to be our best selves. Because when we're our best selves, then we can go out into the world and do the work that we're put here to do.
Anything else you want to talk about the work you're doing, about the retreats?
I think the big part of it is realizing that it is a practice and it's a lifestyle, you know. It's an everyday kind of thing to come back around to this place of loving and trusting in ourselves and having our own back. And to know that, like, some days don't feel great and don't feel easy. Yeah, it's not just, like, an easy ride, you know. And it doesn't always, not all days are roses. But being able to take a breath and sit with ourselves and acknowledge, like, yeah, this is really difficult. And you have every right to feel that this is hard, whatever it is. Or to celebrate with yourself, too, when things are really great. And not living smaller.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But just recognizing that the whole journey, like, it's a process. And to have patience and kindness with yourself wherever you're at in that process, and to have your own back.
Mm.
Yeah.
Your statement of not living smaller, I think that is an interesting thing for many of us, you know, putting yourself out there,
mm-hmm.
and being your being your best and really being able to figure out what that even means mm-hmm. and trying, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, that's an interesting point because I think there are a lot of us living smaller for many, many, many reasons
uh-huh.
and finding the strength or the courage or the whatever to not have to do that.
It does take a lot of courage to not live smaller, whether it's somebody that told you should live smaller, wherever you learned that, you know, wherever we learned that,
mm-hmm.
especially as women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Women not living smaller makes a lot of people uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's okay. Mm-hmm. They can feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's uncomfortable for us, whether we try to live smaller or bigger.
That's true.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But living bigger seems like a lot more fun than living smaller.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you're right. It is a process, and it's an untangling, I think.
I think part of this process is allowing all those feelings to come in. Just, you know, being somebody who's newly self-employed, and really my life has dramatically changed in the past 6 years. Everything from losing my job of 14 years and getting divorced and, like, newly traveling around the world.
Right?
And just all sorts of different things like that. It's like allowing all the feelings to come in. And there's actually a Rumi poem, and I wish I would have brought it, but I just love it. It talks about, like, you know, like anger and fear and loneliness and all these, like, visitors coming to your house, you know, looking at those feelings as visitors coming and allowing them all in.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You get to feel your feelings about that stuff.
Yeah. And go, ooh, like, I'm, like, nervous and scared and excited and, like, all of that. And, okay, now let's move forward. Yeah, acknowledge the old stories and then let them go.
Right. Which is tricky. It's a process. And sometimes you have to acknowledge those stories multiple times.
Yeah.
In different ways.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh.
It isn't just one and done.
No.
But what can you take from those processing? Which is very cool.
Yeah.
Well, how do people find you? So you talked a little bit where your location is of your actual center, and talk about the classes too. Like, is that something somebody can come and try, or do they need to, you know, is it a series? How does that work?
Yeah. All my classes are open to drop-ins. On Tuesday nights, I do a yoga HIIT class, which is like a more high-intensity yoga class for half the class, and then it's some mellow, chill yoga for the last half of the class. Thursday nights, I do a yin yoga class, which I mentioned earlier is like holding poses for 3 to 5 minutes, and mostly floor poses, so it's great for... it's not restorative, but it's just like, it's a really cool practice if you haven't tried it.
It's interesting.
Try that.
It sounds interesting. Yeah.
And Sunday mornings I do a Katona inspired yoga practice, which does a lot of like, measuring up poses, but then also finding space within our body. So making the practice really personal as well.
Okay.
It's a new type of yoga that I'm doing some training in, and yeah, it's finding different fits in our body, which I really like, because like our, you know, our knees fit into our armpits when we fold forward, and our hands fit into the arches of our feet. So in talking about loving ourselves, realizing that we actually fit ourselves.
Mm.
So I really like that.
That is interesting.
Practice, yeah.
Huh.
So I have those three classes, and all are welcome to walk-ins. They're listed on my website, and all classes are $10, or I do punch cards, which are 10 classes for $80.
Okay.
My website is www.rootedinwellnessduluth.com. I'm on Facebook at I Am Rooted in Wellness, or no, that's Instagram. all these social media.
I know.
So on Instagram at I Am Rooted in Wellness, and I'm on Facebook as well. So people can check out those sites. And then I also do a blog, which I do a lot of writing on just this topic, which is artofmyvoice.wordpress.com.
Okay.
And there's a link to that on my website as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, this is great. I mean, yeah, people can check out all the work you do, and it's a very whole person stuff, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Well, we all need a little help taking care of ourselves for the most part.
Absolutely.
So.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Oh, I want to, the retreat. So for the retreats, when, if somebody's interested in that, when would they have to let you know or pay you by? And if you want to talk about the cost of them or anything like that too.
Yeah. Yep. So people can contact me to register. There is still space open for both weeks. And the payment is due by December 15th, so that's kind of our registration deadline. And the cost is $1,399.
Okay.
And a $500 deposit is due upon registration.
Okay. So the $1,399, that includes where you're going to stay, that includes all of the events, and I assume that does not include airfare.
It doesn't include airfare. It includes one meal a day, but not the other two, because it's like so inexpensive to eat down there.
Got it. Okay.
That we're going to frequent all of the local establishments.
Nice.
One of the things I really like about the community is that it is so small, but I've made so many personal connections down there, and I love to support the local, you know, the local stores and restaurants and everything. So we'll be going out to a lot of different places.
That sounds so
It's so inexpensive to eat down there that I didn't include that as part of the cost.
Well, and that makes sense. Then people can do what they want, get what they want. They're not locked in, and they can really experience, I would think, a lot more stuff that way.
Yeah, but it does include, like, the bodyboarding, and if people want to do horseback riding, it includes all the, like, art things that we'll do. It includes an hour massage and all the lodging for the week.
Nice.
And yoga and
cacao
ceremony, all of that.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. This is exciting. It's exciting, the work that you're doing, and the places that you're taking people.
Thank you.
Very neat. It's very, very cool. Good for you for your journey, and obviously what that has done for you and getting you to be in a place of doing your own thing and reshaping your own life. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I, like, 6 years ago or so, I could have never dreamt that my life would look this way. So it's just, like, absolutely amazing.
Awesome.
Love it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And thank you so much for having me. It's just, like, an incredible honor to be here. And I am such a podcast junkie that, like, that I was, like, so excited to be here.
Well, awesome. I'm super glad to have you. I love the work that you're doing, and I love what you're all integrating into yoga. So that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
If you want to connect with Jessica, learn more about her classes and the fantastic retreats that she's doing, those sound so good, you can check her out at rootedinwellnessduluth.com. You can also find her on Facebook. And of course, check in with the show notes to find all the information there as well. Thanks for spending time with me today. Have a wonderful week, and may you continue to find the pieces that fit snugly and effortlessly into your health and wellness puzzle. Take care.